It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Alex Stroph.
Away we go, the Monday edition, the Homer Hour. Homer out today. He'll be back with you tomorrow. I'm Alex Stroph, in for the Emmy Award winner tonight alongside the Packers Super Bowl champion. Our champion, our guy Brian Belaga with us on a Monday night. Good evening, Doctor of Football. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, you know, good. Reading news. We just got news real quick for all of you baseball fans out there. The Brewers acquiring catcher Danny Jansen from the Tampa Bay Rays. 11 home runs on the season. Seems like he will be a backup catcher option. So not the huge bat as the trade deadline looms on Thursday. Brewers are looking for, but that just coming through from ESPN's Jeff Passan. But we are going to play the hits here tonight with Brian Belaga. Lots of Packers. I have a ton of things I need to pick your brain on, Brian. So I hope you are well rested and you are ready to dive into all sorts of things after training camp practice number 5.
Yep, I'm ready. I mean, it's always exciting. What was it today? Day one of pads, right?
Today was day one of pads.
Yep, it's always exciting. Day one of pads, there's always a lot coming out day one.
And day one of pads, I imagine, believe it or not, I never played in the NFL like you did for a long time, over a decade. this is where the adrenaline, the energy, yada, yada, that all gets cranked up quite a notch, I would imagine, with day one of pads, yes?
Yeah, I mean, day one is normally... Guys do some uncharacteristic things day one, so to speak, right? Like you see some things that normally wouldn't happen. You have to prepare for things that wouldn't happen. As a player, I know as myself going out there against the defense, you just never knew what you may get. Obviously, there's an install that you're putting in plays. You're putting in a section of the offense. They're putting in a section of the defense. But chances are they're not going to follow that as closely as they're supposed to, right? They're going to go off script. They're going to do what they want. They're juiced up. They got pads on. There's fans out there. There's a lot of energy, right? There's a lot of energy, and you just have to expect the unexpected. So, yeah, there's a lot of anticipation for day one of pads, for sure.
Totally believe that, and obviously love that. It gets cranked up a little bit. I was there last Wednesday for day one, and it was like, okay, I haven't even seen Matthew Golden in a full sprint yet. You know, like that's what I'm there to see, right? The first round pick, who's as fast as lightning. I want to see him in full speed and all the in betweens. But love that practice is back. Also love that Elgton Jenkins is back, Brian. And I want to set up this scenario for some of the fans that maybe aren't as plugged in as you and I are, given what Elgton Jenkins has gone through. So he returns today, and we will get to Matt LaFleur in a moment, who was asked about it this morning, and it was a super awkward interaction. It seemed like he didn't really want to talk about it. So we'll get to that in a moment. We'll also hear from Elgton Jenkins after practice, explaining maybe his side of the story, and then we'll get your grand takeaway on the Elgton Jenkins situation. So for those unaware, Aaron Banks signed this offseason from San Francisco. He is signed. He's a true left guard. He will play left guard for the Packers this year. Elgton Jenkins, we understand, agreed to move to center. Josh Myers left the team this offseason. He signs with the New York Jets. Elgton Jenkins going to play center. It's my understanding he wanted guaranteed money. He didn't want a new contract. He didn't want an extension. He just wanted the 2 years left on his deal guaranteed, which it was not a big ask. I think it was only in the realm of $10 or $11 million, which maybe to me is a lot of money, but in NFL terms, not crazy money for 2 years left on a guy's deal. He didn't play or didn't practice the last week when practice began Wednesday. Hasn't practiced at all with a quote-unquote back injury. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's our understanding on it. Matt LaFleur this morning asked, is anybody coming off the NFI, the non-football injury list, for practice 5 today? Here was LaFleur's response, and then you'll hear him get distracted. A camera fell in the back of the media room, and it totally changed his answer. Take a listen to the head coach this morning.
Elgton. Yep. Yeah, he'll be limited. Just I think he's just doing individual. And then we'll build him up and hopefully. You all right back there? That's some expensive equipment. Can't be ruining that. Be all bad.
So LaFleur talking how it goes through some individual work and then just pivots to the camera falling in the back of the room, which as a guy with ADHD, I understand how distractions work. So that's the first part. Then Elgton Jenkins, you know, he goes through practice, does some work, and it was individual work, but he was out there and running with the ones at center, which is good to see. He will explain here in just a moment, as he talked to reporters, this audio from Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, explaining, hey, here's what happened, here's what I went through, here's how it's going to go going forward. Here's the Packers starting center, Elgton Jenkins, after practice earlier today.
Right now, we're just focused on the season going forward, just being able to perform for the team, and just getting out of the line right, offense right, and so we can do better this year than we was last year.
Have they given you any assurances that they will take care of you at some point financially?
Right now, I'm not even thinking about that. It's more so just, you know, what I can do to help the team, and just being present, you know what I'm saying?
All right, so there's Elgton Jenkins, courtesy of Matt Schneidman. Brian, you hear all that from the head coach and the center earlier today. Some tunes have changed. Some things have changed. Your grand takeaway from this situation as Elgton Jenkins returns to the practice field is?
Yeah, I mean, so I guess I could look at it. I mean, there's two ways I could look at it, right? Like, either they figured something out, right? Like, I mean, that's one way you could look at it, is that something got figured out, which I don't think it did. I think that's what I'm going to go on, because I think that would be announced already. His agent would have said something, or, you know, that would have happened. And the obvious one, which I think we can all agree on, is that Green Bay dug their feet in, and the answer is no. Like this is what it's going to be. And I think Elgton kind of figured that out. And he said, you know what, like, how long am I personally going to allow this to go on myself? Because eventually I know I'm going to have to get back to work, and I'm going to have to get myself ready. Whether I take this slow, which I would imagine he's going to do, like, he's probably going to go through individual for, who knows, maybe he may go through the next 3-4 days and then gradually work into teamwork and take a couple reps here and there. You know, he'll progress the way he wants to progress through it. But he knows he has to get ready for a season one way or another. Whether this deal got worked on or not, he still has to get himself ready to go play a game against Detroit week one. So he knew in the back of his mind that, there was going to be a deadline to this in his mind, where he knew he was changing positions. He, regardless of what Goody had said about they feel great about him making the switch, he could pick up a ball and snap it and be ready to go. That's all great. He's never been a true starter at center. Right, like, there's a difference of being the absolute number one at center and picking that ball up every single snap and making the calls every single time, game in and game out, and making the adjustments and being the sole guy responsible for doing that week in and week out. And there's a lot of things you have to adjust to, making the blocks and all those things. Like, there's a lot that goes on his plate. And I'd imagine that he, like, wants to get to work on that. Like, he wants to start getting in that rhythm. So while I don't, there's not a lot of moves Green Bay make that, like, I disagree with. Like, right? Like, I think Green Bay's very smart financially. Like, they are. They make a lot of good business moves. Whether that's on the field or as everyone sees around the field, they are very good financially. Like, they are. They're very well run. This one, I just don't get it. Because he's a core player, right? And he wasn't looking for an extended deal. He wasn't looking for a new deal. He was looking for the remaining money in his current deal just to be guaranteed to protect himself, changing positions for the team, for the good of the team, for the last 2 years of his deal. So that next year they couldn't go, all right, well, we'll see you later, because you hit 30 and we got nothing left. We want nothing more to do with you because your cap hit's going to be too high. That's really it. And it's one that I don't fully understand from a, you know, big picture outlook, that they couldn't have got done, right? Like, I just don't understand it fully. Maybe you look at it, they don't want to set a precedent. I understand it. But, like, Elton's one of your top guys on the team, right? Like, he's one of your leaders. He's one of your top performers. He's one of the guys that you take care of, right? Like, he's one of those guys. So, like, it's just one of those that I'm kind of confused on. But at the end of the day, here we are, right? Like, this is where we're at. He's back out there. He's doing it. And I'm hoping that, you know, as this season comes to an end, and if they do keep him around, there's some sort of give and take. But I'm not saying that there will be, right? Like, because obviously nothing got done now. So I'm not saying anything's going to be done next year either. But I'm just hoping for Elton's sake, you know, that there would be.
Yeah, I think that's all really well said, and a ton to unpack there. Brian Belaga, Alex Griff with you here on the Homer Hour, unpacking the Elgton Jenkins situation as he returns to practice today for the Green Bay Packers. So I totally agree with you. They are one of the best-run organizations in professional sports, let alone the NFL, right? They're in the conversation every year. They're so sufficient. Like, financially, they've always got their eyes dotted and their T's crossed. That's one thing nobody can debate with the Green Bay Packers. It's something they're so good at. But I'd say, especially since Gutekunst has taken over, the loyalty factor has gone down a notch, right? You know, letting go of Davante Adams, letting go of Jordy Nelson, you know, not really doing anything with players over the age of 30, as you referenced, as Elgton Jenkins enters the season in which he will turn the age of 30 and very well could be his final in Green Bay. I just don't get this one, because it's something so easy to knock out for a guy that's done everything he's ever been asked to do for you, including changing positions this offseason for the betterment of the team. It seems like a no-brainer to you and me and Jason Wilde, who we often talk to on this program. I guess I'm missing why we got here. The other part of this with Jenkins, Brian, and I'd be curious from your perspective as a former player, I imagine him and his representation, his agent, probably said, yeah, let's sit out until, you know, hopefully we force their hand and we get a deal done and you're able to get that guaranteed money. Does it always get to a point, finally, in this case, where the team digs their heels in and it's clear they're not going to do what you're asking for, so you just have to give up? Or do you think the agent says, or the representation say, yeah, man, sorry, we lost this one, you got to go back out there? How do you think that part played out? Because that's the part I'm hung up on still.
Yeah, well, I would imagine that, I mean, I don't know his agent. Like, I don't know how his agent kind of does things. Yeah. I could just kind of circle it how mine would probably have handled it.
That's great, yeah.
I would imagine Tom, my agent, probably would have said, hey, let's just continue to ride it out. Like, let's just continue to just, you'll just stay on the, you know, non-football injury. Like, yep. Let's just continue to do it. Like I said, my guess was Elton was the one that said, I need to get ready to play. Like, that would be my guess with this, because listen, the guy's been doing this for a long time. Like, right. Like, he understands eventually what he's going to need. So like, yeah, he could ride it out, right? Like, he could have pushed it probably all the way up until, I don't know, like a week before camp ends, and then jump off it and try to get himself ready and get acclimated and put pads on and get going. But, that doesn't serve him well, because then he goes out there week one and he doesn't look ready, right? Like, he doesn't feel ready. And that's not a good thing for him. If he's trying to, you know, say they do release him at the end of the season, doesn't look good on tape, right? Like, he's not ready to go at a position that he's starting anew at, right? Like, and then that's not what he wants. So my guess is the representation probably told him, hey, we'll just continue to go down this road. And, you know, and Elton was probably the one that said, now, like, I need to get going, or at least I need to come off this thing and start doing at least something and get some individual work in and start doing something. Now, this is all with the outlier that you and I, we have no idea if there was a conversation between the two sides, if some agreement was made, kind of like, I think that was Rob that said, if there were some assurances made, that Elton didn't answer to, which he doesn't have to answer to. That's no one's business. We don't know that, right? There could be there. I mean, we have no idea. We have to assume no up to this point, right? We have to assume that, but, I that would be my guess, is that Elton was the one that kind of put the foot down and said, there, you know, this isn't going to happen. We cause like, let's be real. He already lost $500K in a workout bonus over this.
Sure did. Yep.
So lost $500,000 off of this. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you make. It does not matter to me one bit. You lose $500K for just working out. That stings you no matter what. And then you lose on the backside of it, right? You don't get the, you know, the adjustment in your contract, that stings even worse. So you might as well just like, take your medicine and like, let's just get back going. Right. Like, cause like, that's the only thing at this point, that's going to like turn this thing around. Like, cause he may have a little chip now, right? A little chip on his shoulder about this whole situation. That Elton's really good at internalizing things like that. Like he's a tough dude, right? Like, and he's a great guy, by the way, like one of the best guys. That's why, like, I'm so confused about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. He's a great team guy. But he'll internalize it, right? He'll keep that one in the back of his brain there, and he'll play with it, man. Like, and he'll use it as fuel, and he'll make the group better, because that's the type of guy he is, right? He'll use it as fuel, and he'll play his tail off. I know that for sure,
without a doubt. And he went on to say later in that scrum with the reporters, you know, I think I can thrive at center, which I think from the bit we've seen over the past 3 years, you and I would both agree he can certainly thrive at center. So you have your solution there, which is good. YouTube chat coming in. You know, one guy says he has to get and put in the reps, but it's pretty wild by the Packers unless they are planning for an extension, which I, to be real honest with you, I doubt that. So it's a weird one. But good breakdown by Brian Bulaga. Alex Stroff with you. It's the Homer Hour, ESPN Wisconsin. We will dive into another unique situation at Packers training camp, the Nate Hobbs situation. Good, bad, all the in-betweens. We'll dive into that coming up next. It's the Homer Hour, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The Homer Hour, ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Alex Stroff for Homer tonight alongside the Packers Super Bowl champion, Brian Bulaga. We'll get to the Nate Hobbs situation in just a second, but first, Brian, tell us about your good friends over at Surfside.
That's right. I'm here for my friends at Surfside, and summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Why I like Surfside so much? It tastes cleaner than all those other drinks you see on the shelf. It doesn't have that sugary taste that makes you regret drinking one after a few sips. It also has so many great flavors, like my favorite, the half tea, half lemonade, peach tea, raspberry lemonade, and so many more. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside's only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this summer. Look for the cans with the sunset stripes sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Just a little cleanup as the Brewers looking to finalize that trade with the Tampa Bay Rays on Danny Jansen. Danny Jansen, also an Appleton native, so coming back to his home state if the Brewers are able to finalize that. Very likely backup catcher. But let's get back to Packers camp, because this one is this one's interesting. And I think it's good interesting, other than the other one. We just did the Elton Jenkins conversation. I think that's bad interesting, right? Like, Packers aren't doing what we think they probably should do. Elton Jenkins seemingly disrespected by the process. I think this is good interesting. So Nate Hobbs was one of their free agent additions. The cornerback coming from Las Vegas and the Raiders comes over. Going to be competing for that top corner spot for Green Bay. Plays inside, plays outside, you know, plays in the slot, does a little bit of everything. And the Packers really liked one thing about him, which was his aggressiveness. Not so much right now. So Sunday, yesterday, was practice number 4 for the Packers. They still weren't in pads. And before practice 4, at some point, Matt LaFleur pulled Nate Hobbs to the side and said, quote, "This is what I told him. I don't think it's malicious. One of the qualities that we really admired about him is how he competes." He had laid a hit on Dontavian Wicks when they weren't wearing pads, and that was not the first time it had happened in the first couple practices. So LaFleur pulled him aside, said, "Hey, man, just, you know, cool out a little bit. Chill it out a little bit." Well, then today, it happened again. Nate Hobbs laid a hit low on backup running back Marshawn Lloyd in the legs. Lloyd then missed the remainder of the practice, went in with the trainers, came back out, and just stood on the sidelines for the remainder of the practice. Seems like everything's going to be okay, but was a little shaken up by the thing. Hobbs was then put in what he self-described as a timeout, Brian. He said, "Matt LaFleur put me in timeout. And I thought about it." He said he felt really bad. It wasn't intentional. Quote, "It was truly, truly an accident. And next time I'll tag off on him." So Nate Hobbs comes in here. He's a first-year player in Green Bay. And he's just like laying the wood. He's laying the smackdown in the first couple of practices, which on September 7th will be a great thing. On July 28th against your own teammates, not so much a great thing. What do you make of this? Because in my opinion, it's great, right? We want an aggressive corner. We want a guy who's getting after opposing, you know, teams. Maybe not so much at this stage of training camp, but all in all, it seems like a good quality for a guy that'll be in your defensive backfield. What's your reaction?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have like a couple things to it, because like the first thing is I love the quality, right? Like I love that mentality. I love the aggressiveness. I love kind of his, like, I just love that nature of a secondary guy, right? Like I think that fits perfectly with McKinney and how kind of McKinney behaves. I think that's very, I think that's a good like characteristic to have in your secondary, guys that are very willing and able tacklers and that are aggressive and physical, and they put a little doubt in receivers and ball carriers when they come across the middle or they're running little out routes and they're trying to turn up and they're not sure where that guy is, right? Like I like that. I like that mentality from the guys in the secondary. Like, I think that's great. Now on the flip side of that, now I'm going to be like, now that's my teammate, right? Like, now that's like the guy that I'm on a team with. I have a problem with it when it's like, when we're Packers versus Packers, mm-hmm. right? Like, and because first of all, like if LaFleur's already had a conversation with you, right? Like he's already had that talk, like, hey man, like he laid a hit on Wicks already and maybe a couple other questionable ones. Like, all right, like let's like take it easy. Like, you know, like thud is fine. Tag off. Okay. That's great. To go low on a running back in pads is just like not, that's not good. Like, because like the running backs, there's one thing that they're definitely not expecting in Packers versus Packers is someone to go low on them. Like, that's just like the last thing that they're expecting. Like, they're always told like, hey, you got to protect yourself. But like the one thing they're not expecting is like one of their own guys to go low on them. Right. So like it's just like it's not good, right? So you got to protect your own guys. Like, that's just one thing we know. And we know at the running back position, we have like a golden goose back there, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have a golden goose. And I know if it was Jacobs, there'd be absolutely no way he would even like think about doing that. But with that, we need guys behind Jacobs. So if you can, so if you injure someone behind Jacobs, it just gets thinner behind that. Like, and Lloyd was someone that there's a lot of expectation from him, right? Like, people want to see him healthy. They want to see him on the field, and you can't be getting your guys hurt in day one of pads, like doing things like that. So like, while I love the mentality, I don't love it on our own guys. Like, it's just like, I don't mind being physical with our own guys, like a thud, right? Like shoulder pad to shoulder pad, helmet to helmet. Great. Sounds good. Like, love it. You got to be able to take a hit from a shoulder, but going low on our own guys, like, it's just like, and I get he says it's a mistake, but like to stay up, like just, yeah. there's just stay up. Don't go on the ground. Like, that's like rule number one. Like, don't go on the ground. Like, and, you got to take him for his word. It's a mistake. Okay. Like, I get it. Like, but like, just don't do that. Like, you want to save that for, you want to be overly physical. There's going to be a joint practice coming up in like a couple weeks. Do it then. Like, be overly physical with the joint practice. Like, do it then. Like, and just protect your guys. Like, protect your own guys. Don't take the shot. Like, I know you're coming from a different team and it's a little foreign because you got a different color jersey on now. Like, it's a little weird. I get it. but just take care of one another during camp. Like, that's like, and here's the difference too, right? Like, and this is the big difference. He's coming from a loser organization, and loser organizations do things different in camp. And like, that's just what it is, right? Like, and this is not a knock on him at all whatsoever. This is just, it's not, this is, it has nothing to do with him at all, but they just do different things in different places. Green Bay is not that type of place. Mm-hmm. Like they don't, like, that's just not the way things operate there. Guys aren't used to things like that there. It operates in a different way, and guys are used to things a different way. And LaFleur, I mean, he's used to seeing things a certain way too. So, like, obviously he talked to him when it was non-padded, and it happened again today. So I'd imagine there'll be another conversation, and I'm sure this one will probably get across clearly. I would imagine, like, it'll be very clear. I would hope.
I would imagine it'll be a little bit more firm this time. Yes.
Yeah, because like you don't bring those types of habits over, right? Like, you don't want the habits from those types of organizations coming over into yours, right? Like, because that's when unnecessary like fights happen, because that's how those things start, like within team practices. Like, fights start that way. That's the easiest way for a fight to start. Like, someone goes low on Jacobs, there's a fight right there. Boom, bang. That's a run. Yep. Like, offensive line will fight immediately. Like, that will be a fight, like, to start. Like, if someone went low on Davante Adams or Jordy or Eddie Lacy or whoever, that was a fight immediately. Bang. Like, you're getting it. Like, we're all going to fight. Like, that's just how that works. So, like, you just got to – and there's no reason for it, right? There's no reason to do that. Like, it's thud. So just, like, take care of your guys. That's it.
And that's where I was going to go next, because I feel like you're right. If it was Jacobs, Zach Tom, and Elton Jenkins, and all those guys are going to get in his face. And,
yes.
You know, I imagine, you know, you played in the league long enough, Brian, where things probably did escalate at one point or another in a training camp practice. Even if, again, which I think we are all giving Nate Hobbs the benefit of the doubt, we think he's good intentioned. We know he's a good player. We know he doesn't want to hurt his teammate, but he's just going too hard and he's making bad decisions because he's a football player and he's struggling to turn it off. So I guess I'm curious from your perspective, if there was a situation that you were ever involved in where a player was just bringing it too hard against their own guys, or it escalated to, God forbid, you know, a fists or a fight or shoving, did that ever happen in your tenure in Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, about every camp.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it happened. And now, like, day one, no. Like, day one, it normally never happened. There'd always be some pushing and shoving day one, but you normally see these types of things start happening in, like, week two of Packers versus Packers, right? When you kind of start to get sick and tired of going against your own guys, right? Like, it starts to get, like, a little monotonous, and, like, guys just start to do weird things, and you know it just starts to get a little chippy because you're just going against the same guys over and over and over again. And guys just tend to lose focus at times, and they just do odd things, right? Like, and that's, it's camp. It grinds on you. It's long, and guys just do weird things, right? Like, it's normally not day one where things like that kind of take place. And again, I've seen Hobbs play. I was in the league when he was playing. I think he's a good player. I think he's good. I really do. I love his mentality of physicality. Like, I think it's great. I really do. And I'm excited to see him play against other teams and do it against opposing teams. I would just hate for it to happen against, like, you do it against one of the wideouts. So it happens against Jacobs. Because, like, it's just not, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just unnecessary to happen. But, like, again, I don't think the guy has any – he's just, like, listen, and it's his first year here. He's trying to, like, set a precedent. He got paid a lot of money, right? Like, he's trying to prove himself that he is a free agent that is worth bringing in, right? Like, he's trying to set a name for himself as well. So I understand what he's doing. Like, I understand he's trying to bring a presence – you know, that he is also a guy that they brought in for a reason. So, like, I understand his mentality and what he is trying to do. He just got to be a little more careful, right? Like, that's really it. Just got to be a little more careful with going low on running backs or any skill position guy that is in practice. Like, you just, that's one, like, no-no. It's really is. Like, you can thud high, you can do all that, but, like, going down low on backs or tight ends or receivers is just, like, the – that's none of those guys are prepared for that. Right. They're not even looking for that.
Right. Especially right at this juncture of the offseason. You're absolutely right on that. Brian Bulaga, Alex Stroph hanging out with you here on the Homer Hour. And by the way, Marshawn Lloyd just hasn't been able to catch a break injury wise. Barely played last year, had like an emergency appendectomy at one point in the season. So it's a guy Packers fans are clamoring for. So you're right on that. Hey, tune into the Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Beyond the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. Go behind the scenes of Giannis's Emmy-nominated documentary, hear about the true origins of Bucks and Six culture, and more. You can find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. More camp reaction as we're almost a week in to the NFL season. We've got our first preseason game coming up on Thursday with Brian Bulaga coming up next right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Homer Hour right here on ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Stroph in for Homer alongside the Super Bowl champ, Dr. Football, as Homer endearingly calls him, Brian Bulaga. Packers camp practice number 5 in the books, the first one with pads. We covered the Elgton Jenkins situation. We covered the Nate Hobbs situation. If you missed any of that, make sure you watch it back on YouTube or in the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can download wherever you get your apps. So I guess I'm curious from your perspective, Brian, like, the early goings of camp, I imagine that's big on install, big on getting a flow, big on getting a rhythm. Is that like what we're trying to accomplish here in the first week for these 2025 Packers?
Yeah, I mean, like, this first week is heavy install. Like, it's heavy install, the offense and defense and special team stuff. So every day is essentially like a new concept or a new part of the offense. So, like, it'll be, you know, day one would be basic, like, outside zone. And then day two would be, say, inside zone. And then day three would be, like, you know, then obviously, like, with that would be, like, basic pass concepts and, you know, play action, things off of that. Like, and like, it just builds off of that. So then they get a little more complicated schemes off outside zone and inside zone. Then, like, you know, power blocking and some different things, and it builds up, and then you get later into camp, and then you get some, like, more situational football. Then you'll get into, like, third down, and then you'll get into goal line, then you'll install short yardage, and it kind of, you just build throughout the playbook as camp goes on, and then you get to a certain point, and then you're just kind of going through situational football, right? Like, you're just kind of going, scripting plays against your defense and Packers versus Packers through situations. And that's what you're doing. And then it's really once you get through family night, or at least that's how it was with McCarthy and LaFleur's first year. He was obviously feeling his way out as a head coach as well. Right. So he was trying to get his bearings on how he wanted it to look, and how he wanted his, you know, program to flow. But he kind of had it down to where it was rolling pretty good by the time we had it through family night. And then we got through family night, and then the Texans came in and we did the joint practice, and it was pretty smooth sailing by then. So that's kind of when you want everything from your offensive and defensive standpoint done and in by right around family night. Right. And then everything after that is you're just tweaking things, maybe adding concepts, and then working on situational football for the rest of camp. And then, like, you're running concepts. Maybe you don't like that concept, and you change it. And you just kind of tweak things here and there all the way up until you get to a preseason game. Then you see how things work in a preseason game. Then you can make adjustments here and there and keep doing that until you get closer to that week one game, and then start installing for the Detroit Lions probably 2 weeks before the Lions game and get going for that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess training camp is probably bad for me as a fan because it just makes me itch for real game action, which we technically don't actually get until September 7th, as you mentioned, against the Lions. But like, I'm probably going to watch the Hall of Fame game on Thursday, every single snap of it, because I'm kind of a sicko like that. Like, I just want real football.
Who's in it? Who plays?
Your former team, the Chargers. They play. Okay. They play the Lions. If I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So I think it's Chargers Lions on Thursday night. So also the MLB trade deadline on Thursday. So quiet sports day. But you guys played in the Hall. Well, let me rephrase. You were supposed to play in the Hall of Fame game one year.
We were, and then the field was bad, and we didn't play on it.
So I imagine you probably weren't planning to play anyway because you were such an established starter at that point.
To my knowledge, we were going to play.
Oh, really?
My knowledge of the situation was I don't think Aaron was going to play, but from what I knew, I was going to play at least
a series or two.
A series or two on that. Yeah, I was going to play.
So
I was preparing as I was going to play. Yeah.
And when it was brought down that you weren't going to play, I imagine the reaction was probably yes.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't disappointed. I was more disappointed that, like, we're all the way out in Canton, Ohio, right? And yeah. we sat in that locker room forever to get this thing, like, called off. And, like, we left that locker room and that stadium so late at night, like, just to wait for this game to get called off. That, like, we spent so much time, like, we might as well have went out and played a half of football. Like, it was like, you know what I mean? At least done something, because we just sat around there forever and the indecisiveness and, like, we may be going, we may not be going, stay loose, stay. It was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, keep your pads on, or, you know, like, it was just, it was actually more like nerve wracking than it was like relieving that, oh, you don't have to go play. Like, because listen, I mean, for everyone listening, I'll just tell it to you straight. The guys that go out there in week one against the Lions, they really don't want to play in the preseason. Like, I'm not trying to, like, I don't think I'm spoiling any, like, news for you or anything like that, but, like, they just don't want to go play in the preseason. Like, it's not, like, I don't want to say it's not meaningful, because there are guys trying to earn a job in preseason, and it's meaningful for them. Like, it is. It is meaningful for certain guys on the roster or trying to make a roster spot. But for the 22 guys that are definitely going to be playing in week one, there's not much benefit to it, because the guys they're lining up across from, there's a very high probability they will not be on a team come week one.
Yep.
And that's not quality rep that they're going to get. That's why the joint practices, as I continue to say, are the best work that they're getting, because they're going against the other team starters in the joint practices.
Yeah, and that's why we've seen such an uptick in that, especially under LaFleur. It seems like he does one or two teams joint practices with every year since he's been the head coach in Green Bay. But no, you're right. And this feels like maybe the first year in the Jordan Love era where there's just not a lot of competition to hash out for these guys. Like, left tackle's the only true position where you don't know your answer there come the regular season, assuming everybody stays healthy. So, I don't know how much we will learn from the preseason this year, like we have maybe in past years in the Love era since Aaron Rodgers departed. But yeah, you're right on that. And I don't think this is a tooth fairy moment. I think everybody is. No. I think everybody understands that.
Well, see, here's the only thing now that Elton returned, right? And I don't know when he's actually going to take 11v11 reps, but if say he does sooner than later, right? Say it's within. Mm-hmm. Say it's before family night that he starts taking refs again. They may make the left tackle competition go into the preseason. So they actually take reps on the field. So that may actually be a competition that you see actually on the field, because there's more pressure on that, right? That is on tape, on a field, in front of fans, on TV, like, there's pressure to that. So guys feel that regardless, whenever it's preseason or another, whenever I went out there for preseason games, you still feel pressure. You still get butterflies. It's all that. And you have to prepare for it mentally. You never know what you're going to get against a defense or a D lineman. So, like, there is that part of it that you can evaluate on guys. So, like, I think it is, like, they may do that with that left tackle competition if it is still a competition at that point. But besides that, I'm not sure what else. Maybe the wideout competition, whatever that may be out there. I don't know what that is out there. I don't know I really don't know what the, the breakdown of reps.
I don't know either. And it's not like it was consistent last year either. So I don't know what that looks like in the preseason. Then kind of feel the same way about corner, right? Like how many of those guys are you actually going to play? How much are they going to play? How deep do you go, especially early? You know, wide receiver and corner kind of both feel like that to me. So we will see. We will continue to discuss all things green and gold with the Super Bowl champion Brian Bulaga coming up next as we wrap up the Homer Hour right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Couple minutes left here on the Homer Hour. ESPN Wisconsin, Alex Stroh, Brian Bulaga, the Super Bowl champion. Our closing thoughts in just a second, but one more time, Brian's going to tell you about our friends at Surfside.
That's right. What, they're so good, I want to tell you about them one more time. Summer's heating up, I would know about it. I'm down here in Florida, heat advisory just about every day. And there's nothing more refreshing than a nice cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Listen, it's just the drink of summer right now down here in Florida. All my buddies, all their wives, this is the drink. Believe me, when you go into the store, look for Surfside. They got so many good flavors. My favorite, my personal favorite, the half tea, half lemonade. It's to die for. Trust me. Made with real brute tea and real vodka. Surfside's only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right. No carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes. Sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
So, you've mentioned family night a few times as like, I don't want to call it a target, but more so like a, I guess I don't know the word I'm looking for. A mark in the preseason where you go, okay, now things kind of flip. That's coming up Friday for the Packers, so about a week and a half into camp. Why is it because you're in a stadium packed full of Packers fans? 70,000 people are there. Like, what about that night is such a big part of the preseason? Because obviously that's before preseason games. But why is that such a big night for the offseason program?
That was always, at least for – you know, when it was McCarthy era, and it's probably still the same for them. That was kind of like the point in camp, and it was like, all right, like the heavy lifting of camp, right? Like you get the pads out, and it's Packers versus Packers, and those first days of like heavy hitting, and that's all it is. I know camp's different now, but at the time, it was like the dog days of camp. Mm-hmm. Like it was like you're just Packers versus Packers every single day. And it was kind of a grind all the way up until family night. And the family night kind of marked that point where it's like, okay, now we're kind of changing gears. We went to more of an in-season schedule. You're kind of game planning more now because you're shifting to a preseason schedule, right? And you're planning for teams. You still did Packers versus Packers work, obviously, but you're not in the install phase where you're installing offense. Mm-hmm. Because that's done. Like you should know what you're doing at this point. You're like game planning now, and you're getting ready for opponents, and that's a mindset change now, right? Like, and it feels more in season, and that to guys that have been doing it for a long time is refreshing because it's no longer a camp mindset. Well, you're still in camp, but it's more of a in season flow, which guys appreciate, and it gets you out of that camp feeling, which veteran players do not enjoy.
You know, I believe that. I figured it was just the fireworks. Like, I thought that was how you viewed it as an official kickoff, like New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I mean, our wives and kids love that. but that was after the 2.5 hour practice session that we had to go through to get to that.
Heat and all the lights are on and it's warm. Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair enough. All right, the great Brian Bulaga, he's back Thursday with the Emmy Award winner, Homer. That will do it for us tonight. We've got Cubs-Brewers 3-game series starting tonight. Those teams tied atop the NL Central, so 6:40 first pitch at AmFam Field tonight. If you're going to the game, enjoy it. If you're watching the game, enjoy it. Go Crew, and hopefully they can kick those Cubbies back to Chicago after Wednesday afternoon with the trade deadline coming up Thursday. So Brewers and Cubs coming up at 6:40 on our sister station, 620 WTMJ. All right, Homer back tomorrow. Enjoy that. We'll talk to you then. Peace.